wife, if he said my name, I just didn't hear it, so don't want to be preemptive. So. Let's take our Bible study. Let's go to the book of Judges, if you would, please. Book of Judges, chapter number 6. I don't think I'm going to be too long tonight. I'm hungry. Judges chapter number 6, I think we find one of the most amazing statements in the Word of God. I mean, it's all good, amen? It doesn't matter, you can watch your finger and just flip the pages and stick it anywhere, it's all good. But some of it's even gooder. You know, and as you read it, it gets gooder and gooder all the time. But one of the most amazing statements that I have found, and I always pause when I come to it, is in Judges chapter number 6, and we're going to scoot down to verse number 12. It says, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, of course this is Gideon, and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Now I'm going to flesh that out a little bit. You heard the story. Gideon's name covers three chapters in the book of Judges. It's also revisited in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, the great hall of faith, so to speak, as we've labeled it. But it is amazing to me that God would call Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. And so I just want our thoughts to be centered on that this evening. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll get into this. Heavenly Father, we thank you for a church that's still open on Wednesday nights. And people that have made it a priority to come and worship before you, to leave the so-called comforts of home, to assemble together as blood-bought believers, to commune with each other, to fellowship, to sing, to open our Bibles, to hear what the Spirit of God would have for us tonight. Now, Lord, these are precious moments. And I thank you that there is such a place as Second Baptist Church. So, Lord, help us, instruct us, teach us, give us what we need here this evening, I would pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You know, I don't know how many of you have ever done that. It's been a long time since I have. But if you go down to Windsor Fair, which is coming right up in a couple of weeks, and they didn't postpone it this year. So you can get in there and get all the good stuff. You know, eat the doughboys and blooming onions and all that stuff that you can only get once a year. But if you go there, one of the amusements that they have is one of those, it's not a ride, but it's like a trailer. And inside that trailer, there's mirrors that you can walk through. And those mirrors sometimes make you look short and pudgy. And sometimes they make you look tall and skinny. Sometimes they will distort a certain part of your anatomy, like your head will look like a pumpkin and the rest of you looks like, you know, normal. Sometimes your feet are enlarged. But anyway, there's a distorted picture that we have when we go in front of that mirror. Sometimes we as Christians get a distorted picture of who we are in Christ. We are very good beating ourselves up. Nobody has to beat you up. The devil doesn't even need to beat you up. Nobody needs to put on the boxing gloves and give you a spiritual black eye. You do a pretty good job all by yourself.
Yes,
if we're walking with the Lord. Boy, I'm such an idiot. Boy, I'm such a dummy. Boy, I never should have done that. I shouldn't have said that. I mean, we're pretty good at that. And for some, you're probably true. It's probably right. There is such a mental health condition. We hear a lot about mental health today. And it's called a body dysmorphia. And basically what that is, a person looks in the mirror at home and mentally they see the distorted picture of themselves. Well, I've got to lose, you know, X number of weights. And so they go on such a place where they become anemic. And then there's people on the other side of the spectrum. And there's people that for some other reason, you know, they just don't like their looks. And so they have to go to plastic surgery. It is a dysphoria. And I'm saying a lot of Christians have that spiritually speaking. We don't see ourselves the way God sees us. And we are many times our own worst enemies. Now don't take this too far, because sometimes if you mess up, you got to get cleaned up, amen? You got to go for the Lord and get it confessed, stuff like that. But I'm saying a lot of times in circles like this on a Wednesday night where people are legitimately, honestly, sincerely trying to serve the God of the heavens, read our Bibles and pray and give out gospel tracts and try to do everything legitimately, we know what is right to do. Sometimes even we ourselves are cutting ourselves off at the knees all the time. And it's just, that's not the way God sees us.
Yep.
And so I just need to make that presented from Scripture here tonight. And so here we have the story of Gideon. And we know that verse number 11, there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was an Ophrah that pertained unto Joash, the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. Now, you have to understand what's happening here. The old-fashioned way of removing chaff from the grain was you had to thresh it, winnow it. And typically, in this time period, in this land, you would go up on the cusp of a hill and you would take your grain up there, your barley, your oats, whatever it may be, and you would stand there on the cusp of that hill where the breezes would blow predominantly, and you would take it and you would pitch it into the air, and of course the grain would fall back down upon the mat, whatever you had there, and the chaff would be blown away. And so it was very conspicuous, this process of separating the chaff from the wheat. Now this is not the case here. He is living in abject fear along with the rest of Israel, and he is down, the Bible tells us, down by the wine press. Now the wine press is not a tall, storied piece of machinery or building. It is rather small, rather low. A wine press, they put all the grapes in there. Hopefully they wash their feet first. Then they step over the edge and they get in there with no sandals on, and they squish grapes with their big toes and little toes and have a good time of it. Amen. Usually there's a post in the middle and a rope so they don't go sliding on the peelings. But it is low. It's about yay high. And they would, a number of them would get in there and do their thing and squish the grapes and get the wine out of the grapes. And so he's down there by the wine press, the Bible says. And so he's not standing up on the cusp of a hill. He's not in public display. So he's hiding behind this wine press. So he's down here. Any Midianites around? Taking a handful and pitching it up and trying to get the chaff separated from the kernel. And so he's down here like a mole trying to provide bread for his home, his house. And then this angel comes along and says, "Thou mighty man of valor." Who, me? You've got to be kidding me. Don't you realize what's going on right now? The Midianites are invading the land. And boy, if they see me winnowing, they're going to come and they're going to collect all the grain that's here. And we're going to be robbed one more time. We're overpowered as a nation. And who am I? I'm just one guy down here on my knees. And usually that's the place where God will speak to you.
Yes, sir.
Down on your knees. God has no problem knowing exactly where you're at. He has no problem knowing exactly what you're doing and why you're doing it. And so here's Gideon, and he's a mighty man of valor. I don't know about you, but that is an amazing description from God Almighty. Now, I know it's the angel of the Lord, but from God, he was a messenger. From God Almighty, looking at this guy hiding behind a wine press, on his knees, winnowing grain, perhaps in the midst of the day when there'd be less chance of being observed, and that's when God says, "You're the mighty man of valor." I want you to know something else. He didn't put an exclamation point to it. It's not like he exclaimed, "Thou mighty man of valor." He just put a period there. In other words, he's just simply making a statement that he thought probably Gideon himself should know. Now, Gideon was, of course, if anybody's brave, if anybody's courageous, if anybody's valiant, you got the wrong guy here. It's not me. It's like Moses. I can't talk. My brother there, he's a fluent speaker, but me, I got the speech impediment. We're always looking for excuses. We're always looking for something to duck. And God says, look, you're a mighty man of valor. And I'm going to use you to rid this land of the Midianites. And so it's an amazing statement. And especially knowing the circumstances that were going on and everything that was going on in the land, you know, God often sees us in a different light than we see ourselves. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's also telling about how God deals with his saints. You know, we're accepted in the beloved. That's what the Bible says.
Yes, sir.
You know, if you're a born-again child here tonight, born-again man, woman, young person, you know, there's nothing you can do to lose your salvation. Now, I'm not saying go out there and test the limits, but I'm just saying there's nothing you can do to lose your accepted in the beloved. Now, if we could just look at that first word there, accepted. Well, who's doing the accepting? God is. Through the person of Jesus Christ and by your faith in him, God has accepted you. All right, if God has accepted you, how come you can't? Well, you don't know what I've done. You think God doesn't? You don't know what I did yesterday. You don't think God doesn't? You don't know the thoughts that I thunk. You don't think God doesn't know? He says we're accepted in the beloved. Well, that's past tense. No, it's present too. You're still saved today. The problem is, if God has accepted you, how come you can't accept you? And there's people that will struggle for years trying to get victory over something that God says, I don't know why you're struggling with that. And it's not condescending. It's just God says, I've accepted you just the way you are. Don't we tell sinners that? Come just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed. Well, that's for sinners. What are you? Some paragon of virtue? Some angelic being robed in flesh? What are you? You're a child of God, are you not? Now, every adult here that has children know that sometimes your children do some awful bonehead things. And there's not a mother here that stops loving them. Fathers, maybe. But mothers, no. You know, you just continue to love them. You may not agree with them. You may not like it. You may voice your concern. But you never stop loving them.
Yes, sir.
Don't you think God still loves you?
Yes, sir.
That God has accepted you? That in God's eyes, he may still, even at this moment, look down and say, you're a mighty lady of valor. You're a mighty man of valor. You're still in church on a Wednesday night when so many others have found reasons not to be. You're still reading your Bible. You're still trying to maintain a Christian testimony. You're still trying to maintain a Christian. You're a mighty man of valor. Sometimes we need to see ourselves the way God sees us. Now, I'm not saying we got to camp out there, but once in a while it's a good idea to hit the refresh button. We're been accepted in the beloved. So here's Gideon. He's hiding. He's doing what Gideon would probably do best. He's just trying to stay out of the way. But God used him in a mighty way. And I'm just trying to push ahead here. Sometimes we wonder, why did God use him? Well, that was up to God. You know, the Bible says, but our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Why Gideon? His father was a pagan. He was a Baal worshiper. If you read the next few chapters, Gideon's sons didn't fare out too well. The only one that was survived turned out to be a pagan too, because he killed all his brothers. But I'm just saying, Judges is a book of cycles. And the nation would go through some deep valleys or turn away from God, and God would say, bake that guy, Samson. Of all the people you could have picked, why Samson? The guy doesn't even cut his hair. But he used him. And so they go through another cycle and we'll use this guy. That's God's call.
Yes, sir.
I tell you this, God has a special call for every person. It may not be your time yet, but God has a special call in every person's life. He's a sovereign God. He picks who he wants and uses them as he wants, where he wants, how he wants. That's what he did with David. I mean, David was the youngest of all his brothers. Usually the honor goes to the eldest son. In David's case, it was the younger one. Saul later became Paul. He persecuted the church until he was on that road to Damascus. All of a sudden, that heavenly light came down. I mean, it just, boop, changed his life forever. You know, so sometimes we need to see ourselves the way God sees us. And I realize it's a flip side to that coin. You know, the church of Laodicea, they said, I'm rich. Increased with goods, I'm needing nothing. I don't even need God. We got all the programs we need at church. Man, we've got this thing financed. We've got ministries for the kids and, you know, the kids' kids and the parents and the mothers and every single group, we've got it covered. And God says, knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So there is a flip side to that coin. I'm trying to stay on the positive side tonight, which is a big plus for me. Okay, I'm rarely there, so I just enjoy it while you can. And those who know me know that's a true statement. I just got my medicine replied today. It's amazing what you can find at those little shops with the little green cross on them now. Right across from Dollar General. How does God see us? He says, but you're a chosen generation.
Yes, sir.
Not only that, you're a royal priesthood. And holy nation. A peculiar people. Some of you have got that down pat. You know, the peculiar people. That ye should shew forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You know you're a chosen generation. You're a chosen generation for this generation. Nobody else is going to do what you can do. You're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. Now, we're not coming here with clerical garb and robes on, but you are a priesthood.
Yes,
you're a holy nation. You're a peculiar people in the right way. That's how God sees us. You know, if it doesn't put a little bit of spring in your step tonight, just a forced smile, just okay, there is sunshine up above. I mean, just to know how God sees us sometimes and to dwell on that for a few minutes, that will help you right there. And so let me give you several things and we'll be done. Number one, God knows where you are. He knew where Gideon was. He wasn't going, here, Gideon. He knew exactly where Gideon was. Oh, he's over there by the wine press. He's down there on his knees hiding. I'll send my angel. He'll take a camp and park over there by the oak tree, and Gideon will see him, and he'll find out, and he'll get communicated. And so God knows exactly where you are tonight. God doesn't know what's going on in my life. God doesn't see me. God doesn't care. All right. 15-minute pity party break, and then let's get back at it, okay? God knows exactly where you live. He knows your GPS coordinates.
Yes, sir.
He knows exactly the decisions that you face tonight, tomorrow, the next day, the day after that. He knows what you already faced this week. He knows already what you faced getting here tonight. I had to shoo all the kids into the car and scram them into the shoe. And boy, it was hectic. But boy, here we are. Praise the Lord. Amen. He knows all about that. He'll know about the conversations going home, too. That Brother Barnes, I had to listen to him again tonight. Just, you know, he'll know all about that, too. He knows exactly where you are tonight. And honestly, I lose sight of that. I mean, I'll go out there and have my prayer time out in the woods, and I'll grumble and grouse and complain and whatever, you know. And then finally, you know, enough of that, time out. I serve a big God. Praise the Lord, I had something to eat today. I got a place to live. I got some clothes to wear. I got a few friends. I keep six around just in case I tip over, so there'll be pallbearers. But other than that, more than six friends is a surplus in my book. But I just say, you know, I've got all those blessings going for me. What do I have to complain about? God knows us. God sees us. God knows where we're at. My times are in thy hand, the psalmist said. And guess what? Your times are in his hands too. And they will be all the way up to that time where it says, is appointed unto man wants to die.
Yes, sir.
You even have an appointment with death. God knows all about where you're at. He knows the circumstances of your life at this very hour. He knows what fears you have. He knows how those fears may be controlling your actions or inactions. Job says, he knoweth the way that I take. Man, if anybody could say something like that, Job. He knoweth the way that I take. He knows the path that I'm on. He knows the circumstances of life. Now, Job didn't know that God orchestrated or God allowed those things to happen. He just knew that God knows the path that I'm on right now.
Mm-hmm.
And some of us want to know the end from the beginning. No, you don't get to play God.
Yes, sir.
You get to know one day at a time. If you know that, sometimes you don't even know the day. You just know, all right, this is the next step. This is, you know, light under my path. This is as far as I can see with the light that I have. Well, then that's as far as you go. But God knows where you are. Second of all, God knows how to get your attention. See, how does that apply? Well, in verse 12 there, we read that the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. You know, if I saw an angel, that'd get my attention, wouldn't it? Now, let me just clue you in here. You're not going to see one. But an angel, if we understood as a messenger, you might get that. God knows how to get our attention. I don't know what it's going to take, but sometimes God has to take what we would term drastic measures to get our attention. Yeah. Hello? Trying to talk to you here. I'm going to send an angel. Boy, that ought to get your attention.
Yes, sir.
And he's going to sit down. He's going to have a conversation. That would get my attention. Now, you're not going to see the angel macaroni like the Mormons do, right? We're not going that direction. We're Bible believers. But an angel is simply a messenger, and God has a message. And if he has a message for you, he knows how to deliver it. He knows how to speak your language. He knows how to get your attention. He knows where you live. He knows what vehicle you drive. He knows all about you. He is saying, you're a mighty man of valor. I'm going to have something for you to do. But first of all, I got to get your attention. And so God knows all about that. The angel here was a messenger. God has no lack in delivering his message to you. Sometimes it's sickness. That's how he got King Hezekiah's attention.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes reverses in life. That's how he got Job's attention, or he took Job through that path. Sometimes solitude may be a messenger. That's what he used with Elijah. Elijah fled, you know, from Jezebel, and he got back there on the backside of the desert, and you know, the earthquake and all those things that were revealing. But God spoke to him in a still, small voice. I like this one anyways. I like solitude. I like being out in the woods, just out in the woods. And my wife likes me out there too. So it works both ways, right? Made for a happy marriage. I just like to be alone and quiet and still. Pick ticks off me and just, you know, slap mosquitoes. I mean, just. But God knows how to get your attention. And he may use different means to do that. The challenge is to recognize the messenger's source when it does come. It's not just who's speaking, but what is God saying to me?
Yes, sir.
Number three, we're not all called to be Gideons, but we're all called to serve Gideon's God. We're not all called to be Gideons. You know, he says, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon gets the recognition. But you know, there was 10,000 that showed up to fight the Midianites. 10,000. Oh, here's old Gideon, says, man, we can't take, the Midianites, they've been conquering us, beating us up, there's no way we can win. And so they make an announcement, hey, we need some men to fight the Midianites. 10,000 show up.
Yes, sir.
Remind you of somebody? Oh, Elijah said, you know, they killed all your prophets, I'm the only one left, God. Boy, if I go down, there goes the old ship of Zion. God says, look, I've reserved 7,000 haven't bowed the knee. You know, we're not the only independent King James Baptist church in the state of Maine.
Yes,
now, you may be the cat's meow, but you're not the only one, amen. There are other ones out there. Our little tribe down there, you know, we got a handful of people, and we had a preacher's fellowship, and man, you should see our people get excited. There's people that showed up from churches. This one, your pastor showed up. Steve McFarland showed up from Sedgwick. He preached. Brandon Pelkey, he preached from over there in Stockton Springs. Man, our people were excited just to know that we're not alone on this reservation. There's other ones out there. You know, that does something for people.
Yeah.
It encourages them. We're not all, 10,000 showed up. Now, God winnowed that down to 300, but even those 300, you can scour pages of scripture. You'll never find their names. It's just Gideon. But I would have to believe that epitaph that he earned, the Almighty Man of Valor, would also apply to others. Well, Brother Barnes, I'm no Gideon. I don't think anybody's calling you a Gideon. But you can still be a mighty man of valor. How would they get that title? Just by showing up. 10,000 showed up. That got winnowed down to 300. You know, we don't have to be a big band.
Mm-hmm.
Just a solitary individual.
Yes, sir.
And God says you're a mighty man of valor. Gideon's name is recorded in these chapters here. We see his name mentioned quite a few times in chapter 7, verse number 21. Just one other verse there I just want to throw out. It says, and they stood every man in his place. You know how you can be a Gideon here tonight? Just by standing. Now, I'm not talking about physically standing right now and a benediction and stuff like that, but I mean just spiritually standing. Just spiritually standing. And you can be identified with one of Gideon's 300. May I encourage you tonight, don't go home and beat yourself up on the way home. I mean, it's hot, it's August. We just sailed through stupidity. You know, 101, 102, 201, 202, 301, 302. We're at nosebleed height for stupidity in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see where we've turned a corner yet. But may I remind you, don't beat yourself up too much.
Yes, sir.
Take a pause and look at yourself the way God sees you. You're in Christ. You're a mighty person of valor. God has a place for you. God has a purpose for you. And God will work it out in your life. We have a word of prayer here tonight and we'll be dismissed. Gracious Lord, I pray that you'd help us. Lord, we're harder on ourselves sometimes and the whole world combined. And we can dig ourselves a rut which simply turns into a coffin. And so, Lord, I'm praying that you would encourage us tonight, strengthen us. Paul at one time, Lord, he says, forgetting those things that are behind, I press towards the mark. Sometimes we just simply need to forget those things that are behind. We just need to live in the moment. And in the moment, we are accepted in the Beloved. We have your blessing. May we bask in the sunshine and rejoice. Lord, speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. You're dismissed here tonight.